Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I am Mocton. And Brett, have you heard? Have you heard? We're about to have some drums, drums, drums.
That's right. We are about to have some drums, drums, drums. This is, wow. I mean, this is a man who's done so many things. I mean, the reason that he's here is to talk about some Vanilla Fudge. But I know that he is one of our all-time favorite drummers. He is Carmine Appice. Carmine, how are you?
Thank you. Well, I recognize those two lyrics. Have you heard drums, drums, drums? Hold on a minute.
That was a little
shout-out.
That's
from the first Rockers album.
That's right. We love that album. I remember we used to listen to that album all the time when we were playing Madden football, just over and over again.
Oh,
back
yeah.
When it was back wow. Before Madden was back when Madden was just a PC game. And we used to just sit there and we would play that for hours, and just that was one of the one of the regular rotation of albums. And for us, it was Sweet Señorita and just all these just great, you know.
The cover of Paint It Black was, you know, is probably my favorite, you know, completely. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was a wild one with my buddy Dwayne Hitchings, and the sequencer and all that. We were mixing up acoustic basic drums with the synthesizer. You know, it was like two spectrums of the music business at the time. You know, that was good fun.
Sure. Well,
I mean, it's a great album, but I mean, you've been on more than a few great albums.
Yeah,
we are here to talk about Vanilla Fudge.
Yes,
please go ahead.
We are.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, of course,
yeah.
You've got the Led Zeppelin Immigrant Song. Yep.
Yep, that's coming out next week, and we did a video for it, so that the video is pretty interesting. It's all dark psychedelic, and you know, we took a performance of us back in '67, and you know, we colorized it and made it weird, and you know, made it a lot of fun. And this guy that does my videos for my my Katarzyu stuff, if you guys have followed any of that,
mm-hmm. Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's really, really a really awesome guy, an editor. So I turned him on to our manager, Tom Vitorino, he's a visionary, Tom, and he had an idea for the video. And so between me, Tom, and this guy, Robert, we put the video together and it came out great. And then, you know, the record deal itself came from Tom because he worked out another record deal for Vanilla Fudge with Golden Robot Records. It's going to be Vanilla Fudge doing five Supreme songs. We're going to call it Supreme Fudge, you know? And so while we're working on that, which we started somewhat, Tom was around. He managed us back in 2006 for a couple of years, and we split for a while, and we're back with him now. He said, what about that Zeppelin album? You know, it never really got released properly. Let me see if I can get Golden Robot. Maybe might want to release that. So we talked to them. They loved it, and we remastered it, and they said, let's release it. So about a month and a half ago, they said, well, we're going to release the Immigrant Song first. So we'd like to get a video together. So it took us 2 or 3 weeks to put that together, and now they've had it in their possession for 2 or 3 weeks, and we had to remaster the whole album, you know. And so now they said, okay, it's coming out. Now we want to set up some interviews. I said, oh, great. It's like a real release. Cool.
So what goes into the remastering process when you talk about, like, you know, taking an album? Because, I mean, it wasn't released to, like, what was it, 2007?
2006, I think, 2006, 7, something like that. And it was done, you know, we did it all analog back in the day. Yeah. You know, as you say, back in the day, you know, 2007, I mean, that's funny, right? My back in the day is 1967, you know, but in 2007 or 6, whenever we did that, we did all analog and we mastered it like normal, whatever was, you know, digitally mastered then. But now, you know, mastering processes have changed and they're a little better and they're more aimed at vinyl now. So we took to our mastering guy and he just tweaked it a little bit, you know, here, a little there, and it made it sound a little better, actually. You know, just more, a little more present, a little more warmth. And you could actually hear the difference, you know, from the original to that. So that's what we did. And then we sent it to them. And then they came up with the idea to do the video. They paid for the video guy. you know, we did the video, and now, you know, last week they said we're going to do a bunch of interviews. So Mark Stein did 3 or 4 yesterday on the phone. I'm doing 5 today, you know, and so we're making some headway.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, I see with the Supreme Vanilla Fudge that Tim's actually going to be playing with you on some of the tracks. That must be exciting.
Well, we're trying to. Tim, unfortunately, is very ill. I mean, it's a miracle he's still with us, you know. But we tried in January when I went to L.A. for an AM show. I brought a tape of us playing Vanilla Fudge doing Stop in the Name of Love. And I brought it into a studio that's owned by Jorgen Carlson, who's a bass player from Government Mule. He has a nice analog studio. So I brought it in there, and we were putting Tim on it. And when they pulled the track up, he said, "Who recorded this? This is terrible." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "There's organ, guitar, and bass all over every drum track. The leakage is unbelievable." And I remember when we recorded this, you know, the engineer said, "Oh, we got these new shields, you know, to put around the organ and around the amps and everything, so we don't have to put the drum and put everything in the, like we used to put the Leslie in a closet, the bass in another closet, the guitar in another closet, you know, and that way the room mics and the drum mics in the room don't pick up everything, so you have total, you know, separation between everything." And, you know, and I don't know what was wrong with me. I didn't even think about it because, you know, I usually produce these things. And, but we went in so fast because we were trying to get Tim on it that I didn't even think about it. And it was terrible. We put Tim on it anyway, but it's unusable, you know, so we couldn't use it. So we were going to go back in and re-record it with the proper way of, you know, separation. And then the pandemic hit and that was the end of that. You know, so now if we get recording and Tim's still with us, God, hope, God bless him, then, you know, he has a setup in his house where he can actually play bass. We just finished a Cactus song, a whole Cactus album. And there's one song we left open for the bass for Tim to play bass on it, you know, because if he does, then it'll be on that song is me, Jim McCarty and Tim, 3 out of 4. Original members on that song, you know, but he's been really ill. And, you know, he said, "Look, I haven't played in years. I did go out and buy a bass, a 4-string bass, as he knows I love him the way he plays on 4-string, you know, rather than 5-string or 6-string. So, you know, we're trying to get him involved, which is helping his attitude, which is helping his sickness as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can well imagine. I mean, it's such a shame. I mean, you know, it's so hard. I mean, for fans, of course, but I mean, I can imagine what it's like for you. I mean, to lose friends and, you know, and we lose all these people that we've listened to for so many years, and it's such a tragedy.
Yeah. I mean, I call Tim every week, you know, every week I call him. He called me this week, and I called him, and he texted me, said, "No, sorry, I haven't gotten back to you, but I've been not feeling very good the last couple of days." I said, "No problem, Tim. I'm just checking in on you, man. You know, you're my brother."
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know? Mm-hmm.
I always watched over everything with him, all the business and everything. I always watched over it for us, you know. I always, you know, told him what the deals were, made sure we got paid. You know, if we didn't have a manager, and even if we had a manager, I would deal with the manager for me and him, you know.
Yeah.
So we were like brothers, you know.
I mean, in all of your music, I mean, you've certainly been through so many bands. I mean, but like Cactus and Vanilla Fudge, they're bands that you've come back to. Like, what is it that's special about those bands?
Well, the fact that we own them is one thing. Number two is the fact that they were both successful and legendary. Number three, between Vanilla Fudge and Cactus, we influenced so many bands. You know, and both bands and different genres, you know, like Cactus influenced like King's X and Ronnie James Dio and Whitesnake and Van Halen and those kind of bands, you know. And then Vanilla Fudge influenced like ELP and Yes and Deep Purple and any of those kind of bands, you know, even sticks, you know, when they first started. Dennis DeYoung claims Vanilla Fudge is an influence. You know, so it's, you know, so those bands are influential bands, you know. And BBA, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't get a BBA reunion together. Jeff never wanted to do it, but we do have a BBA live record that we did in 1974 that I mixed a couple of years ago with Jeff Beck's engineer, and Jeff Beck gave the approval on it. And Jeff's manager, with our manager, is working on a deal to let it come out, and has 8 new songs on it. So if that comes out, that's going to be like a reunion for us, you know, not physically, but on record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are my three bands that really influenced a lot of the business, you know.
What does it feel like
now,
then? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Brett. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, what does it feel like to know that you've been in these influential bands? Like, how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, I'm so used to it, you know. I mean, people say, oh, he's a legend, you know. I mean, I don't know, you know. I think that, like, this list interview a guy said, one of the most notable legends in rock. I said, oh, come on, man. I'm not Ringo. <You know? laughs> I'm not Eric Clapton, you know what I mean? But, you know, I guess when you're around so long, you become a legend, and no matter what you do, you know. And then if you die young, you become a legend, too. You know, so it's like one or the other. So I guess because I've been around so long, I'm still doing things. I'm still recording stuff. You know, I'm doing a new record. I got a studio here in Florida. We put together in the guest house. So I can walk in there at any time. My drums are set up. They're all mic'd up. Somebody could send me stems to a song. I can go in and just play, you know, learn the song, have fun, play. And sometimes my wife calls me and says, are you ever coming back in the house? You know, because I just love playing. I love music. I love creating music. I love writing songs. I just wrote a Christian song I'm trying to record with Rick Derringer. I might ask Mark Farnock, he's Christian, to sing on it or play on it too. You know, I just love creating music, you know, no matter what it is, whether it's rock. You know, I'm working on like an R&B based song that I wrote. And I'm doing with this young guitar player. But while I'm doing all this stuff in the studio, I'm learning how to operate the studio, you know, and I'm, as the engineer. Like, I just did a Modern Drummer Festival where I recorded the drums, recorded me talking. I mixed it, and Modern Drummer came down with the video, and they videoed it. And I sent them the mix, and they synced it up with the video. So I engineered it. I said, wow, that's funny. I'm like Joe Engineer now. You know, but I'm learning to operate the studio. I just ordered a little 12-track board. My brother Vinny's helping me. He's a computer engineer, you know, on the side. He went to computer school for a couple of years in between his career. And he builds computers. He knows everything about them. So he built me a recording computer that's souped up, has a lot of power. Sent it to me, set it all up with Cubase, and then put it as a program in it that he could chime into my computer and on the phone, on Facebook, on FaceTime, he can, you know, like help me work the computer, teach me how to run it, teach me how to record. Like the other day, we put a new hard drive in the computer on the phone with the FaceTime, so thank God for him. He's helping me learn to work it. So now I actually know how to work it. So there's a couple of things, like today I'm going to talk to him about a couple of things I need to learn that wasn't working properly, you know. So, but it's great, you know. I can record sessions. I did a couple of sessions in there. I did a tribute for Pink Floyd for Cleopatra in there. I did a Wish You Were Here, the song Wish You Were Here. I played it my way with my drum sound, you know. And I got my drum sound going in there. I got different snare drums I put up for different projects. So I'm having a ball, you know.
I can't wait to hear you and Rick Derringer again because, as you may or may not know, you and Rick Derringer and Tim, you did the greatest song of all time with "Blood from a Stone."
What a great song!
Oh, such a great song! I've listened to that song like a billion times.
What a great song! Well, this is the what I'm doing with Rick. We're going to do this Christian song that I wrote. Because back in 2018, I almost died of a health thing when I was in Europe, and it took a lot to get me back and back healthy. And I was praying to God, you know, when I woke up in a room, a black room, after they knocked me out, I thought I died. You know, so I was holding my cross on my chain and praying to Jesus to get me home and safe. And I did. So I've been listening to the Bible, and I wrote this song called Jesus Forever. And Rick loved it. And, you know, I go to the churches. I'm going to do it with the church over here. I just found the church here on Sunday. And I'm going to get the church some drums. Because they were using electronic drums. It was terrible. And I met with a guy yesterday. He might sing on it as well. This guy, great vocalist and keyboard player. And I'm waiting for Rick to get back to me to send him the stem so he can do the guitars. And then we're going to switch vocals around. You know, he'll do a verse or a line, then this guy will do a chorus, and, you know, and make it a really cool song, you know. And then we're going to do another song, which Rick wrote, and then we're going to do another song, a cover of a Christian song. Like, I have like a 3 or 4 song EP for me.
Nice.
Rick, you know.
That's going to be – so you're actually going to record it inside of a church?
No. I recorded the drums. I wrote the song on my iPad on GarageBand, where I play everything.
Wow.
I play keyboard. I play bass. I play guitar. Enough to write songs. I'm not great at any of them, but I know chord structures and all this. I majored in music in high school, and you know, I sang doo-wop all my life. So I've been singing, and I know harmonies. I know chords and blah, blah, blah. So I write these things on. I have a lot of songs that we did on albums that I wrote on my iPad. So this one I wrote on my iPad. So I put that track that I wrote on my iPad on my computer. I played drums to it, and then I played keyboard and B3 from the iPad onto the Cubase, and then I sent it all to Rick. And so he listened to it and said, okay, when I get back in town, because he has 2 houses, when he gets back to the other house, he says, send me the stems and I'll do the guitars. So I'm just waiting for him to get home. You know, so he'll do the guitars and send them back to me, and then we'll get somebody to play bass. I'll get this other kid to play keyboard from the church and sing on it, because he's a great singer. I mean, I'm talking great singer, you know. I mean, me and Rick are good singers. This guy's a great singer, you know. So anyway, but I love that song, Blood from a Stone. And the reason why we never did another record, because the label thought that the religious lyric overtones on that album didn't fit what they wanted on their label.
Wow. That's incredible.
So,
actually, So
they asked me to do the next record, and I got Pat Travis. Then we did Travis the Peace, which I thought was a great record also.
That's also great stuff. Yeah. The, speaking of, I have to ask you about this, but I have to ask you about this, because I think that humanity probably peaked in 1986 with the Iron Eagle Never Say Die video. Do you have any memories of that video with Lou Gossett Jr.? I love that video.
Yeah, that was a great time. That was one of the bands, you know, the last guy asked me, what bands did you play in that you think didn't go all the way? I mean, you know, I could say most of them, but the two that I thought was Cactus should have went bigger, and King Cobra, I thought should have got bigger, but it never did. But that's because of the labels, you know. But when we did that video, when we did that song, that was Dwayne Hitchings wrote that song, who's my good buddy, you know. And he wrote that song for the movie, and we were doing the second album with Dwayne. And you know, I'm not happy with the way we did the second album. We did one half, you know, acoustically, the acoustic drums on the other side. The other half we did with some drum machines and everything else, and that Home Street Home song, which was unique. Actually, that was the first rock rap song that was ever recorded before the Aerosmith did that stuff with Run DMC, you know. But I wish we would have done that other side with the full drums instead of the drum machines. But Iron Eagle was done with a drum machine with some real toms and hi-hat and cymbals added, you know. And when we did the video with Lou Gossett, I mean, we all loved Lou Gossett at the time. And it was great hanging out with him and doing that video. It was like a mini movie. It was awesome. And now Mark Free, who is the star of the video, is now a woman.
Yeah, we've talked to Marcy actually, so I mean it's fantastic.
Right? I mean, and I discovered Mark. You know, he was going to be on my solo album when I was playing with Ozzy. I found him when I was with Ozzy, and I was going to do a solo album. He was going to be my singer, and then when I got fired from Ozzy, and Sharon said, "You need to do your own band. Your name is too big." I took it at heart. I did my own band, King Cobra, and I used Mark Free. I put the whole band. I got the concept from Motley Crue. There were three blondes and a brunette. Three brunettes and a blonde. So I said, I'm going to do all blondes. I'll be the brunette. You know? So I had a concept, you know. I had a great time in my life and my career. I did all these crazy things, you know. The Guitar Zeus album I did, I said, I'm going to do a guitar album because the drummers are hard to get solo deals. After I did that first solo deal, it was hard getting another solo deal. So I said, I'm going to do a guitar album, you know, and I did. And Guitar Zeus did great around the world. I sold 200,000 records around the world, everywhere but here, you know. So I did a lot of great stuff. I did unique stuff. I did stuff, you know, drum offs and drum wars and contests and, you know, started drum fads. And I'm real happy what I did.
Is there any story that you wanted to put in your book? Like that you didn't get a chance to put in?
I had stuff that was she could have went in that we took out. I'm sure if I could, I can't think of one at this moment, but I'm doing my next book.
All right.
With the guy who wrote this, that he wrote a huge Beatle book, and he's writing a huge Led Zeppelin book. They gave him a huge advance, and this guy's going to write this with me. It's going to be called Guitar Zeus, the book.
Oh, wow, nice. Awesome.
It's going to be all about all the guitar players I played with in my career.
Wow. All
of them. Stories about everybody, how we got together, what we did, what we recorded, road stories, everything, you know. And he said, I'll get the deal. He's a powerful guy in the business now. And he's, you know, I keep in touch with him. He still said, I'm finishing the Zeppelin book in November. We can start on your Guitar Zeus book. I said, that's awesome, man. So
I can't wait. As
I came up with the idea. I said, what a great idea, you know, just to talk about all the guitar players I work with. I made a list of them. I was so impressed with the list because there's guys I forgot about, you know, like Jakey Lee. You know, I forgot about I worked with Jakey Lee. You know, Brad Gillis, Jeff Watson, those guys, Mike Bloomfield, you know, and then all the guys on my Guitar Zeus record, plus Jim McCarty, plus Jimi Hendrix, plus Jeff Beck. You know, I mean, it goes on, you know.
Yeah, so no, it's amazing.
Cool, and then I can include bass players. You got Tony Franklin, you got Brad Gill. I mean, Tony Franklin, you got Tim Bogert, you got Bob Daisley, you got Phil Chen, just to name a few, you know, great bass players, you know.
Oh, this has been a great chat. So Vanilla Fudge, Supreme Fudge is coming out. The Immigrant Song is coming out. And I'm sure there's probably a famous book or something.
Yeah, the whole album's coming out, which will be Vanilla Zeppelin, it's called.
Okay. Vanilla Zeppelin. All right, excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, We'll probably get sued by Zeppelin for using the Zeppelin name, you know, which would create a lot of headlines.
There you go.
That's always good. Controversy creates cash.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
Awesome. Well,
okay, man. Thank you.
Nice. Thanks, Carmine.
You guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Text me. Let me know if you want to do something.
You bet we will. All right. Thanks so much. All the best. Right, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.